This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/wow and get a free audiobook download today.
We're busy tonight, but there's always a spot for one more.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 300, and I'm going to screw this up because we talked to Hodor, 14. So that would have been 14. I think that's wrong, though. Yeah, this is 15. 15.
God damn it, Hodor!
Hodor screwed me up.
Yeah. Hodor!
Exactly. That came up, dude. That came up in that conversation. How could I avoid it? It's The Instance, everybody. Welcome back. Friday, March 22nd, 2013. It's big announcement at PAX Day for Blizzard. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, we got the Terpster over there in England. What's going on?
It's not... Well, it is 5 o'clock now. Sorry, everyone. It's an hour later because my watch is wrong.
What is up with Britain?
I mean, it's still right for me, but yeah. It's wrong for you.
But why won't they just get in line and have the same weekend changeover on the clocks as the rest of us?
Yeah, we won the war, Terpster.
I don't know. Well, we're still fighting the bugs. That's the problem. I saw, hang on, daylight savings, UK. British summertime is Sunday, March 31st. So... next week's going to be screwed up as well.
Fantastic.
Okay, that's fine.
Excellent. Let's plan on that. That'll be wonderful. Way to go, England. Okay, good. Also with us, Dills, of course. Dills, welcome back.
Good to be back. Correct time, as always.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Although we were just talking about it. Why don't we just get rid of the whole damn thing, right?
We should.
They
farmers.
Do it in old, Phoenix, don't they? In old Arizona.
Right.
That's the one thing out. Arizona got right, by the way.
Spacks looking at their clocks. The thing is if I didn't have to change the time on everything, like an hour... Like everything would be like massively out of sync all the time,
yeah.
Because all of my clocks keep time at different, you know, levels of accuracy.
Yeah.
And so this is my time to get them all back. I sync all of my watches and clocks.
See, my stove, it's still fall when I go into the kitchen. My stove.
That's perhaps
waiting for next.
So you're like, it's only another 6 weeks or 6 months. This is fine. Yeah.
I'll leave it. I don't even know how to change the freaking time on my stuff.
My bedroom alarm clock is that. But it's good normally because it means I get places earlier this time of year and then later, you know, after this time of year.
My power went out last week. I had a brownout here at the house. And we have a clock that blinks midnight over and over and over now because everyone's too lazy to change it and make it correct again. So I don't even care about those.
It's like 10 seconds and who has 10 seconds?
The rest of my stuff's all internet connected, so who cares? My phone will say what the changeover is, when it changes. My computer will tell me. I don't have to do anything. So
see, did you ever have that thing when phones didn't do it and then they start to do it?
Oh,
and then,
speaking of phones.
Like one of those phones. Yeah.
Like one of those phones.
Yeah.
But basically what happened is you would have to change.
You know, is that him? Is that on his side? Oh, it is on Terpster's side.
It's me. Right. Anyway, but what would happen is you would change the time.
Yeah.
Thinking like, I'll get ahead of this. I'm going to change it an hour. And then the phone changed another hour.
Oh, yes.
I was like, what? Oh, no. Now I'm like, well, am I 2 hours the wrong way?
Am I behind? What's going on?
I'm getting up at work at 3:30 in the morning. What the hell is going on here?
By the way, I really appreciate the fact that they change the time at 2 a.m. so that you don't get less time at the bar.
Right.
I think that's really nice of America to realize that everyone still wants to drink until 2 in the morning. And,
I kind of wondered about that and wondered what the actual benefit was, and clearly I was barking up the wrong tree. I thought it was something else.
Harvesting the crops out in the field, they would still have enough time to get absolutely bladdered and wasted.
Yeah, so and then get up bright and early.
Yeah, it's part of the tiller's rep. Come on, I gotta get out there and get the rep. Let's get into the show. We got a ton to talk about before we get into the big news, and there's some huge news today. We hinted at the top of the show. Let's talk about a little bit of what we've been doing in game or around Blizzard during the week. We took down Blademaster Butthole the other night on Wednesday. I forget his
pretty
name.
Pretty sure that's not his actual name.
No.
Are you sure?
Heart of Fear guy. What's the first? The guy with the hallway and the tornadoes. I don't remember his first
name.
Oh,
that is Blade Master Butthole.
That's,
sorry. Yeah,
that's
sorry.
The one.
Yeah, you're right. Thought you were talking about somebody else.
That felt really good because we wiped about 16 times on air, by the way, because we streamed the whole thing to people. And a few people hung out and watched us up till about, 1:30 in the morning Eastern time.
It's good to stream progression nights, you know?
Yeah.
And really just let people know how hard it is. Yeah.
Well,
how hard it is for you to figure stuff out.
It did have the added benefit of people playing pretty well. Like, it's still it's a hard fight, and we're just kind of working our way through it. But people were on their best, I think, some of their best play. Like, nobody was just, like, Syros was dying a whole lot less. Let's put it that way. He knows what I'm talking about.
No one phoned it in.
Nobody phoned it in. I died a dumb way at one point, and also forgot that I still have that stupid glyph that lets your explosive trap like knock people 5,000 ways to midnight. That's a stupid thing to have in a raid. Because you'll just you knock mobs into other other trash, and then that trash joins the fray. It's horrible.
Generally not good in raids. Knockbacks are much better in PvP.
Yeah.
But.
Or on your own somewhere, or it's a cool. I don't want to go down the wrong path here. It's a cool glyph. All right, Blizzard. I like it, but I'm not going
to
use that.
Every shaman used the knockback just to annoy everybody, not for anything useful ever.
Right.
I think there's like three fights I've ever had where it was useful to have the knockback.
Yeah.
And Blood Beast, that was like pretty much the last one I remember. But yeah. But it's always bad. It's always to annoy everybody.
Well, this stream was significant because it was one of those nights, and you have to love these, when you and a group of nine of your friends do something where you're banging your head against the wall 16, 17 times, and then you're like, all right, we have 10 minutes till raid ends, guys. Last attempt. And we're all thinking, well, this will be just the same as the last 17 times. But something kicks in, like there's a weird focus that kicks in. I don't know what, but we get down to the wire on that fight. We've done the long run to the other side of the room, the other side of the hall through those tornadoes. Most of us perish either on our way or when we get there, because that is a really hard fight to heal. And you're taking damage all the time through the whole run. So you got to, you're popping Warlock rocks and all this kind of stuff. Just try to get down there, whatever you can. And you're dealing with some of the worst ping issues in the world as far as that particular encounter goes. And I'm streaming it, which means my ping is going to be weird. So I'm kind of like, I'm kind of fiddling with destiny here. But we get down there. We're getting them down to 2%. Everyone dies. All we have left is Manny in bear form. And he is just about
dead. Yeah,
but
he's got 3 million health or something, right?
He does. He's got a lot of health.
That's amounts of
health. Yeah, he's Metal Bear or something. I don't know what he is. But they get down to the wire, and he's got hardly anything else. And he does just enough damage to finish that guy off. And it was just, everyone freaking out and vent, and a big chair went out, and it just reminded me of some of those old war days where we would pull something off and just go, now that was satisfying. So all of those wipes all made completely worth it by the end, and it was a blast. Totally enjoyed it.
That's my favorite stuff. I love the progression factor. I love wiping a bunch, figuring something out each time you wipe, mm-hmm. getting that little bit different. Like, okay, wait a minute. Why are we all standing here when we should be standing here? Like, mm-hmm. why are we not utilizing this mechanic? Why are, figuring out one thing each time you wipe that improves the strategy? Because a lot of times you start with the basic strategy. Someone's gone to the, to the websites and looked it up, watched the videos. So you kind of have a general sense, but it's really fine tuning all those things that makes it go from failure to success. So
sometimes it works better for your particular race and class mix, whatever you come to the table with. But also there is a tendency, I think, to go to see something on TankSpot or somewhere else and go, all right, well, I've got this figured out. We've all seen the videos. Now we know what we have to do. And when you get into the mix, I mean, this is probably just rating 101, but you get into the fray and you go, well, wait a minute. We are so focused on following that strategy to the T that we've forgotten we've got a whole 50 yards of game space behind us, or we've got that pillar to go behind, or we've got this way of kiting that dude, and that's what that last attempt actually was. Some of that, it was like, why are we spending this entire fight in this little cubbyhole before there's so many whirlwinds we have to get out of there before we have tornado overload? Instead, why don't we pull them out a little earlier and kite them up and down that hall? And that did the trick. Like, that something about that changed the dynamic to the point that we actually pull it off. And that, I don't know, that kind of stuff is
sometimes
so satisfying.
Sometimes it's worth just doing it different sometimes, because you don't rely on I should be here. It's about 2 minutes in. Maybe I do this thing now. Do I? Right. Yeah. And sometimes if someone messes up or it messes up, everyone has to kind of wake up a little bit and come off autopilot. And then you actually start reacting to what's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It's a giant difference. So anyway, that's what's been going on for me. Terpster, we haven't talked about StarCraft on the show at all. And I've been playing the hell out of that. And I should finish it this weekend. Well, I haven't had as much time. Yeah, we talked about Blizzard. So
I finished it. I finished the campaign. It's beautiful. Great story. Love it. Kerrigan's beautiful in every
way. Still the best butt technology in video games today.
Just it's exceptional. It's exceptional.
Yeah.
But yeah, really loved it. Haven't gone into multiplayer yet, so I'll give that a go at some point. But I'm a little bit scared about just getting abused quite heavily.
And you should.
Yeah. And aren't the region restrictions lifted? Because I'm pining to get back into the multiplayer, and I think it'd be fun for us to do it.
I don't know.
There was some talk about that, like you could at least switch regions now or something. I haven't played with it, so I don't know. But
we have to test it. What a great way of doing it.
So real quick, I put up a video yesterday, kind of ranting about how I think the story's getting too much criticism for being too simple or being kind of over the top and overly silly, dramatic, and too self-serious and all this. This has generally been, the reviews have all talked about this for some reason. And I'm not saying that there isn't some cheese in the story, but there always has been, so I don't know why they're suddenly pulling it out now and they didn't with the first one. What am I trying to say? What's the first one?
So yeah, cross-region play, by the way, yeah.
Oh, good.
So like Diablo 3, StarCraft 2 will now allow players to create profiles in any region they choose. Your ladder ranking as such will still be region-locked, but there's nothing stopping you from reaching Grandmaster in North America, Europe, and Korea on the same account.
But point being, if you've got friends overseas, now you can play them. But anyway, exactly. Wings of Liberty.
Cool. Well, we do that.
Wings of Liberty had just as much cheese in the story that this did, and I loved every second of that.
Yeah, there wasn't enough Rainer for me in this, though. I will give it that. Like, you know, Jim's in it for like, you know, three scenes maybe, and I need more sort of, you know, Western, you know,
space truckers.
Exactly, I need more space trucker. You know, he's awesome. The other thing that kind of bothers me a little bit is the pre-rendered cinematics at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lip sync's a little bit funny, and Rainer looks much younger, and Mengsk looks a lot older than in the game, and it kind of feels like, I understand like pre-rendered things are probably done well in advance, right, and you know they can't be changed, but they could change the rest of it to match.
Well, did you also notice that some of the major story point cinematics in the game were not traditionally pre-rendered, like you would?
No, they were game
rendered, but then also post-produced and stuff. So instead of doing live, some of it was like live. Here we're rendering on the fly, talking to, you know, what's his name in the evolution chamber, and that guy's awesome, by the way. But anyway, there's all that stuff going on. But then they would show one where it was clearly that engine stuff, but not being rendered on the fly and being going through some post-production on the you know, on their side. They didn't do any of that kind of thing in the first one. The first one was either one or the other. It was either a pre-rendered scene or cut in-game, and that was it. And they were great too. But this was an interesting thing I noticed right away. They had more of them, first of all. And they had a lot more like effects and stuff going on that you couldn't render in real time, but it was still using that engine. I thought that was a interesting choice, technical choice on their part. It's good stuff though, man. Really, really love the story, and I'm almost done. I just need time.
Yeah, I haven't even picked it up yet because I know I have no time, and I know as soon as I start playing it, I'm going to play all the way through the campaign in like a day or two.
Right.
So that's what I did with Wings of Liberty. So
yeah.
I don't see that not happening.
And they make you really badass in this expansion, and it's not very difficult. I think it's to its strength, actually, that the single player is not a huge challenge on normal.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous.
It's not supposed to be. And the mission, the mission objectives and the structures of the missions are a lot less make a base and defend it. It's more weird stuff, like take a larva into a Protoss ship and have it reproduce and grow and spawn other ones, and then eventually an army. Oh my gosh, what a great mission.
There's a really cool mission where you play as the Hyperion, and it's basically kind of like a MOBA space battle thing.
Yeah.
And it's great fun. It's really, really, really good.
Yeah, really
fun.
Well. Dills, I think you'd dig it. But I just want to make it clear, and I don't have a problem with this, but Arthas is Kerrigan is Leah from Diablo 3. They're the same stories, kind of. They're the same kind of core thing. The one tragic character who becomes the terrible
good guy
blah.
Turned bad guy. Sure.
I get it. And I'm fine with it. I'm fine that Zeratul and Thrall may as well be the same guy. I'm fine with them being the spiritual leaders of their two games. Like, all of these things.
I don't know. There's subtleties, though, as well.
Well, there's definitely subtleties.
If you take broad
sure.
strokes, then we can start doing the whole there's seven kinds of stories. Right. You know, I think that the whole point is that they're, you know, they take these kind of universal concepts, but they put them in different places in different ways. Yeah. And I think ultimately it's always enjoyable. And it's entertainment.
To me, it serves the game. I actually believe that that simplification, if you want to call it that, it's probably not the right word, but that actually serves the greater good of the player, which is this is more fun, more accessible, and I can be a 500-year-old man or a 5-year-old kid, and I get it. I don't have to be carried along with 6 books, 700 pages long to even try to crack the story. And I'm totally cool with it. Don't have a problem.
But I mean,
with
the
it.
Thing is like the character that's just evil from the start is pretty rare. I mean, you know, you've got your Darth Vaders and stuff too, where it's you started off good, you have some good left in you, but you're doing bad now, and everybody can kind of relate to that. When you have, like, this guy is just evil. Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get him. Like, that's a little bit tougher.
Yeah, we don't want Skeletor. We want Kerrigan, or we want...
It's not Mike Myers we're trying to fight here. You know, I mean, like, there's somebody with some actual backstory.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that I think people enjoy more is realizing, yeah, this guy's doing this for a reason, not just because, you know. He's not just doesn't want to watch the world burn.
And
yeah.
I'll tell you something right here, and this won't make sense to Dills, but it will to Terpster. If you are if you are pissed off and you're about to punch a guy in the face as hard as you can, an alien right in his face, and that alien instead catches you off guard by putting his hand over your face so all you can do is look between his thumb and index finger and says, believe, damn it, you're going to believe.
Well,
one of the most badass moments of that entire game. I almost got up and cheered. Because I'm a sucker for Zeratul and his mumbo jumbo. I think he's awesome.
Zeratul's, you know.
I think it's great. I'm in, man.
He's okay.
They're singing to the choir. I love this crap.
Exactly. Anyway, the other thing I was going to chat about, which I haven't put on here, which I should probably cover up top, is obviously I missed last week's show because I was out in Baltimore checking out the Elder Scrolls MMO.
So, impressions. Oh my gosh. What? So
it's Oblivion, I say, because it doesn't look quite as good as Skyrim, but MMO. It's nuts. They've actually now made the mode where you fight first person with your two hands on screen. It's crazy in many ways. It doesn't differ too much in terms of like the questing feels quite Guild Wars-y, quite you know, a mix between that and WoW. It's all narrated NPCs, but your character is silent. So that's, you know, like it is in Elder Scrolls.
Is it zoned? Level zoned? Like you, if you're level 25, you got to be in a certain... Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's that sort of thing. Like I said, the big thing, though, is the combat. It's all, you know, kind of mouse-driven. You could play with a controller as well, I guess. But the idea is that, you know, you swing your... Tap your button to swing your weapon or hold it down to do a heavy attack. Block with right button. Do an interrupt with holding down the right and then press the left, you know, and your attacks are based on where your mouse cursor is pointing as opposed to clicking on a target and then running through a rotation. You have kind of a hot bar with skills that you can kind of throw off, but ultimately it felt quite Elder Scrolls-y, which was cool.
That is really good news, because that's what people want, is this thing to differentiate itself from the WoW standard.
I think it didn't feel like WoW in terms of the combat. There were elements of it that were quite Warcrafty, but I can only think they're kind of good comparisons in many ways. I think it's one to watch. It's one to just keep an eye on. You know, nothing's ever going to be World of Warcraft or bigger than World of Warcraft. Those sound like really famous last words. I don't think anything is going to be bigger than WoW. I don't think it's possible with WoW still existing. But I think it'd be a welcome distraction.
Importantly, you didn't get shot at or mugged or anything while you were in.
No. I went and did an Irish pub quiz, or as they call it in America, pub trivia.
Yeah.
That was good fun. That was really good. It was good. I was there with a load of journalists and the guys from Elder Scrolls, and we all had to come up with team names. And so we came up with the NDA Breakers, which I thought was quite funny. They laughed and then like looked at us like, that is a joke, right?
Yeah. So, but they are letting you tell people about impressions of the game, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's all public now and stuff. But it's good fun.
Well, that's good news for me because that's a game I would love to see them. But I want to see it branch away from the typical thing and try to be Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to try and capitalize on what people want about an Elder Scrolls game. Yeah. And it's got loads of faction versus faction. It's all one big super shard. So everyone plays in the same place.
Right.
And using phasing, it's going to put 400 people in the same zone at any one time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the whole center of the continent of Tamriel is 3v3. It's like Dark Age of Camelot. It's
got three factions. Yeah, we're right, right.
Combat taking over places. So that I think will be the chief faction, chief reason to go play that that game. What it's going to give you different from WoW. I think it's like I said, keep an eye out for it. Hopefully it'll be a good one.
Yeah. It's just so easy for people to write off a new MMO as, great, another old Republic attempt or something. And I think people should just back off and wait and let this thing come and see what happens. I'm on the list for a beta, hopefully. I'd love to get my hands on it and we'll see.
Yeah, I think more so, though, it's like, people have realized since Old Republic that it doesn't matter how good your IP is, how good your franchise and license is, you need to have something more than that.
Yeah.
I think you have to do something different than WoW because people, if you do something similar to WoW, people are just going to choose WoW.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you don't do something different, then you're not going to get any interest, really. People are going to go over for a little while and they go, well, I'm doing the same thing and I've already spent 6 years over here. I'll just keep doing this,
And it's funny because on the other hand, like in the Skyrim way, they kind of corner that market. Nobody else is making quite that RPG, that particular kind of RPG. And maybe we'll see more come in the future. But Skyrim kind of stands in a place on its own, and it was incredibly successful. Another degree, Oblivion and games before it. But that Elder Scrolls thing is a unique space. So the more they, play to those strengths, seems like the better they're gonna do.
Embrace the fact that you guys have something special, you know, and don't try to change what that is. Just try to apply it to, an MMO model and let it go. Let it breathe from there.
Right. So. If you have nipples on your knees, wear shorts.
Yeah, man.
Play to your strengths. Don't hide those. I have a friend
on your knees.
I have a friend who has one on the back of his leg. How weird is that? Hmm. Yeah. He's not real happy to let it show. Anyway.
No?
Nope. Not so much.
Is it a nipple or is it a wart?
Actual nipple. Doctor says that he had whatever some kind of gene.
If he was a lady, would he be able to lactate from it?
Yeah. Why not?
What? That's crazy.
Take a knee. Oh. Anyway.
Don't mind that. It doesn't stain. It's fine. That'll wash.
Knee milk. All right. Dills, I know you've been alting around. I saw in your warrior. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I, for whatever reason, when my playtime is sporadic.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to focus on my mains. It's really easy for me to jump into alts when I only have like a couple hours to play, maybe, or an hour here and there.
Yeah.
Because I can just go in and run some randoms and just kind of run around and quest. And just I feel like I'm accomplishing things because of how quick you level. So I don't know if you guys are the same way, but when you don't have consistent playtime, that seems to be a more rewarding playstyle for me, is to come in and just hop on war deals and jump around and tank for a little while.
I do that with the Warlock because I'll trade that for like, ooh, I need to do my dailies on Thunder Island. That's going to take
that
2 hours.
Progression feels so slow. That's why.
Right.
When I have time to actually go in and play every day and start actually working towards those goals, that feels very rewarding. But when I don't have that time, I want to see that blue bar filling up. I want to be using up all my rested XP and I want to see levels flying by.
Yeah.
So I've just been popping onto alts and just playing them through with some rested XP and leveling them real quick. And playing the warrior tank right now is really fun, but man, the rotation, or it's not really a rotation, it's more of a do this first to build aggro if it's AoE, then you can kind of start to settle into what you have enough rage for and what builds your rage and all that. So it's actually really fun, but there's a lot more to it than there used to be, I feel anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't play at max level on my warrior as a tank, but from where I was on my warrior before to where we are now after 5.0, there's just so much more that I have to think about, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
But it also feels, I feel pretty overpowered. I mean, I don't die. And I don't know, maybe the healers are good, but
no, I just, you don't.
Yeah.
I just don't die. Yeah. And if I am about to die, I can fix myself a lot of ways.
Shogu,
you know?
Last stand.
Victory rush is a great little thing to heal myself. You know, I mean, there's a ton of stuff.
Regeneration. Yeah, you got all these tools at your disposal.
Yeah. You know,
and
what's
then
great?
If you go for like second wind and stuff like that, then it's just like, oh, this is so good.
You know what's great is we haven't even mentioned hunters today. I think we should be commended for this.
Well, we did talk about your glyph.
Oh, damn it. We did talk about the glyph. All right. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. I haven't even touched Dills in a while. And if I, you know, I'm really missing raiding right now, but it's just been so tough for me to get evenings on Mondays and Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And it's pissing me off right now. But yeah. Glad you guys are still rocking it. So I'm looking forward to getting that opened up again.
Oh, yeah. Always fun.
I'm the same thing as well as the progression raiding going on with my guys. Really sorry I can't make it. But as soon as you got it on farm status, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
As then.
Save me some epics. I will see you there.
I've done that before. All right. Let's get to the big news of the week. We got a big one today. Let's check it out.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
All right. Today's big news, by the way, brought to you by typefrag.com. Get the best Ventrilo service on earth at typefrag.com. They have served us so well over the years, and they will serve your guild well as well. That's typefrag.com. Tell them we sent you. All right. So we got the big pack surprise. They've been hinting for weeks that for the first time, I think ever, they were going to go to PAX East and they were going to announce something that wasn't previously announced. It wasn't going to be this Titan thing we don't know much about. It wasn't going to be in the existing game set. In other words, not another RTS or not an expansion to one of the existing games or any of that. That this was going to be something totally different. Turns out it's not entirely different, but we'll get to that in a minute.
It's different. It's not a brand new IP.
Yeah.
And it's also not physical.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's totally different than any video game they've put out.
Ever.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. So anyway, they got
and to the people who say that Blizzard caters for the casuals, prepare to, well, be affirmed.
To be right.
In some
yeah.
But still,
keep saying that.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting. It's Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft, a free-to-play TCG video game that will launch on PC and Mac first sometime this year. That was confirmed. Betas open up this summer. They didn't say when in summer, but sometime.
Tablets, oh yeah?
Tablet as well. iPad specifically. No talk of Android
yet. Well, they talked about it, but they said, we're not going to focus on that right now.
No way.
Basically, that's what everyone says when they've got a new iPad game coming out. Oh, it's not off the table, but we don't know. It's the reason people say this, and this is not an anti-Android rant. This is just a problem right now with Android, and it's an actual problem that Android users admit is a problem. There is serious fragmentation in that market, and because of that, it is very difficult. It's like building a PC game in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Back when standards were all over the place and you had to make a game that somehow worked on all of them.
No, it's very true. And we're going through this right now at my company because we're working on an app. And when we started looking at the Android version after the iOS version, we started realizing there's a lot of problems inherent to building something on this platform. And that's just, there's so many different screen sizes. There's so much different things you have to look at that aren't there when you're talking about iOS. It's like all uniform.
Yeah, there is a uniformity to the iOS thing that does make it easier. It's easier for developers, and it's something, you know, whatever. People get tribal. I don't care about any of that. I used a Nexus 7 for a while and really quite liked it, and it would be really nice to see this game on those devices. I'm not saying it'll never happen or they won't work out a way to do it or there might be a limited number of devices that support it. But it's at the very least, you might expect like the Nexus line to run.
It all comes down to market size, though. You know, if there's only 100 people who use it, then there's no point in spending time devving for it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Still, amazing.
Oh,
I
so
cannot
excited.
Wait.
So excited. Free to play. Blizzard sure gives an awkward stage presentation, though, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it like, I haven't seen the
Geek is.
Playing a CCG on your tablet when you're surrounded by your friends.
I just don't know. Like, their that video stuff was awesome and got me pumped, but I don't know. The voice of God from BlizzCon doing the shoutcast kind of play-by-play for that match they had was just, I don't know, some of that stuff's weird, but forgetting all of that, and they were showing the PC version, obviously. iPad version will come shortly after launch of that and the Mac version.
I swear it's going to be best, though, surely. I mean, yeah. This is like, this should be the thing for iPad. Like, you know, playing a CCG, the card game, the biggest thing with the WoW TCG is that it's built for an audience that doesn't exist locally together. You know, I play WoW with friends from all over the world,
right,
and then they sell me a product that requires me physically to be in the same place as everyone else, and it doesn't work. Mm. And it's great. Obviously, there's, you know, geeky friends, and you can play geeky stuff with geeky friends, but, you know, maybe they're already playing Magic the Gathering and they don't want to switch to a new thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you're going to get together with five of your geeky friends, you're probably going to play something like Dungeons and Dragons, which is extremely established and well thought out, and, you know,
or Magic or something.
Yeah, or Magic. These are the things that
exactly. Whereas this now seems like the most sensible thing they've done in terms of almost a licensed product, but they've done it obviously in-house, in making a collectible card game digital.
Yeah.
And it would be really cool to see this feed into WoW in some way, and that, you know, you can unlock a new pack from taking down the latest raid content or something like that. I would love to see, you know, them really just run with it, as always.
They have no reason not to, and they didn't get into that, but I think they have to kind of do that to differentiate this a little bit or to make it stronger. EQ does this a little bit. They've got some tie-ins to their TCG that go directly into the game. That would be really nice to see.
And it's free to play, but I imagine that, I haven't looked into this, but I'm imagining you have to buy booster packs. So you can
You can earn them or you can purchase them, which I think is the model you have to go with.
Agreed.
Is make sure that you don't have to buy this stuff, but if you want to skip over stuff and get all the good stuff early, you can do that.
Yeah.
And that's where you'll make the money, is you make the money from the people who pick up the game because it's free and then go, I love this game, I'm going to pay my money now. And they said something like a dollar a booster pack. So
yeah, and if you value that stuff, paying a buck here and there, big deal. I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'll probably end up spending some money on it.
Yeah, I've embraced free-to-play where this model is employed. And it's not just Blizzard doing it. Many are doing it right. Some of them are doing it wrong. But the ones that do it right typically are providing a full game experience that you could do by playing it. You could unlock everything and do what you got to do by playing it, but then pay for the things where you want a boost, if you want to. If you don't want to wait to unlock it, or if you don't want to whatever, there's ways of doing it that works out pretty well. I feel like they probably know this and want to do that right, to piss off as few people as possible in a cynical internet world that thinks everything free-to-play must be garbage. Because it's really not. There's plenty of...
This doesn't look like garbage at all. Yeah. I watched several videos.
Oh, it looks amazing,
this.
Dude.
Awesome.
Looks amazing. Really, so all the spit and polish you're used to from Blizzard, very animated, very fun to watch. Sound is great. Dude, the minute... I thought of Dills when this happened, but the minute Jiraxxus came out and killed that warlock and took over, I about crapped myself, because it's one of my favorite things, probably because we heard it so often, but that whole "you face Jiraxxus" line is one of my favorite things in WoW. And having him say that, like, his card literally hopped up, killed the warlock that summoned him, became your hero, and said, nice. You faced Jiraxxus, and then laid waste to this guy, and it was awesome.
No, it's going to be great to play this and feel like, you know, you're in familiar surroundings. And that's, you know, one of the things about, I got that Magic the Gathering app, which is, you know, a card game on an iPad, and it's great. But I don't have a familiarity with the Magic the Gathering world yet. I haven't played the physical game before. So to me, all of this stuff was brand new. And here, I'm going to be hopping in. I'm going to go, oh, there's that guy. There's that, you know, it's going to be, it's going to feel like the world I've been so accustomed to, and now I get to kind of play that style of game in that world, and that's going to be so fun for the millions of people who play WoW.
Let me throw this idea out there. So Terpster, what if I came to you, I'm Blizzard, and I said, all right, so here's your WoW TCG on the go game. Here, it's fun, it's animated, it's got a good sense of humor, it knows the lore, maybe even it's tied into the game, but whatever. You're playing it on your iPad and your PC, and those games, by the way, are synchronized. That's kind of badass.
Nice.
So you're not playing it two separate, you know, ways. Battle net throughout and all that. Let's say all of that's true. And then I come to you and go, all right, consumer of our products, Mark the Terpster Turpin there in Bristol, England. How about you also get, next year we're putting out a new one, and it's all based in the StarCraft universe. How about that? How about you're fighting, it's a TCG card based in that universe. And why not a Diablo one? Why not just take all of our franchises and turn them into these games? Then what do you say? How much would you pay then?
a lot, probably. But I'm. But the thing is, it's not fair because you're talking to me. I'm going to buy it regardless.
I know.
Like I'm the worst like litmus test out there for a Blizzard product because I'm going to buy it and I'm probably going to love it.
Yeah.
You know, I just enjoy having more of this universe, of these characters, of this theme, of the quality we expect, and you know, like they make good stuff. With Hearthstone being the name, it kind of feels like we're less likely to see things outside of WoW, at least under the Hearthstone badge. Maybe they make a Nexus, and it's like, well, we've already got the engine, we just redid the art. There you go. There's a StarCraft one. And then there's, you know,
hell, they could just be card packs. It could be, just a new deck.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, but wouldn't you love to get a Haradric cube and just, you know, play some Diablo?
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Of course I would. And do I want Deckard Cain to tell me how to play and do the tutorial? Damn straight, I do.
Oh, it'd be amazing. And then they phone me up. They say the actual voice actor is ill. You do almost a good impression of Deckard Cain. Would you record it? I say, of course I will.
Absolutely, I would. Leo.
Oh, well, no, then Scott's going to get it. Don't do that. It's good, Scott.
I'm trying to usurp your chances.
Rein it in. Exactly. Rein it in a bit. You know, like, like that. And I'll be all like, right. Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Fair enough. I got some clips from the actual video in the presentation that I think are prescient. First of all, here is the trailer. I know this is only audio, but you get the idea. And once again, laced with Blizzard quality. Check it out.
It is said that wars are only won upon the anvil of honor.
Others believe victory requires strategy and a mastery of power.
War is deception, a game played best from the shadows. Only strength and raw power can assure total dominance.
But of course, you could forget all that and just have fun! Hearthstone! Heroes of Warcraft.
All right. Pretty good. Illidan's in there. So
yeah, so Liam must have known then he didn't tell us the first.
The bastard. Although I think they used two voices for him. His and then something else on the end wasn't his, I think. I'm not sure. But
you are not prepared.
For 5 seconds, I thought, oh my gosh, I was wrong this whole time. And I thought this was going to – I thought there was no way this was going to be an announcement about the MOBA progress because they said it wasn't something they'd done before, and so I just, for whatever reason, the very beginning of this video, I went, "Uh-oh, it's the MOBA, it's the Blizzard All-Stars thing going on."
Yeah, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, it was those characters, it's them talking.
It's
about,
always those characters, Scott.
Right. It's that whole Heroes thing. So, well, let me play more of this, and then I got a question to ask, and then we'll move on. So, here's expect to hear this sound a lot. That was the thing that happens a lot in the game when you pull up your deck. Here's your deck sounds.
And now they just want to complete the rest of the deck, and the second half of the deck just gets completed automatically by the AI.
Man, their volume was really loud.
So it sounds like a hunter.
A little bit.
Just shooting.
Here's they also showed a kind of a reel of developers talking about the process, and Metzen said this about the game.
I think the release of Hearthstone is really important for Blizzard. At a broader level, it's kind of a step out of our comfort zone. It's not all that big far of a step. You know, it's a Warcraft game, but just being so accessible, right? And that's really exciting.
I think it's interesting. The whole video seemed to focus on this idea that we have not made a game like you know, Three Vikings or whatever the hell it was, Lost Vikings, rather. Or, you know, these more simple game. I mean, it looked beautiful, but you got to admit, this is not, you know, this isn't the complexity of a giant three-dimensional world, you know, full of people and distance and servers and blah. This is a throwback to a thing Blizzard used to do, and now they can do it with the might of too much money and, you know, and kind of a, I guess, all this creative what's the word, the creative dues they've paid over the last 25 years. They can like slow down for a second, say to this little team five, and say, look guys, go nuts, let's have a little fun thing I can do on the bus, you know. And that's what they're doing. More about the smaller scope.
Previous to this, you know, all of our games have been like 50 plus person teams and have been multi-year development cycles. And we really wanted to see, could we make a game that lived up to our epic standards, but is much smaller in scope?
All right. Well, we'll see in June or July or whenever this comes out.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Here's a couple more. Let's see this little clip about recognizable stuff.
I think you'll still sort of recognize a lot of the really cool spell effects, really cool class mechanics, things that you kind of really came to love in previous titles that we've released.
Okay, so that goes to what you were saying, Dills, about, you know, the familiarity of WoW and sticking true to that. So you don't, what you don't want to do, is, for example, is pull out Garrosh as your hero and have him not sound like Garrosh Hellscream.
Yeah. Or, no, exactly.
Hi, I'm Garrosh Hellscream.
I will be your doom.
I'm a new war chief. Yeah, you just you can't do that. Suddenly he's a cowboy. That's not going to work. Yeah.
I think the horde should be run like this. Let's see. Last one was something about quick to play.
You can put together your deck, play a game, takes 10 minutes, and then you're out. Really fun.
All right. How do we feel about this? Hmm. That sounds good to me. I don't want a thing I have to invest a bunch of time in.
They've got three different modes, Scott. So you've got the... You've got the one, like the kind of play mode, where you kind of go in and you unlock cards.
Yeah, you just play somebody.
Kind of like, it's like a career mode, and it matches you up.
Right.
You then have practice mode, where you practice and you're up against, you know, easy AI or hard AI. And then you have Forge. The Forge.
Yeah, that looks
good. Which is like a draft tournament, where right. you just get, you know, random cards presented to you, you pick them, you build a deck there and then. And you're up against other people who have built a deck there and then. It's like draft tournaments are the most fun when it comes down to playing TCGs. Like, I love them for Magic the Gathering. You know, you kind of feel like you're on the same, you know, playing field as everyone else. And that makes a real difference.
Yeah, I agree. Oak Dragon in the chat room says, does sound like a toilet game or toilet time game to
well,
me.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I'm going to have some really, really... tired legs a lot of mornings now, because I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be like, well, if a game takes maybe 10 minutes, I'm not going to stop halfway through. No. I'm going to sit there.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish the damn game.
Yeah. A guy likes a good 10 minutes on the can, though. So
I love it. Yeah.
Definitely.
I like my time there. All right. Well, this is all very exciting. I can't freaking wait. I wish they would have surprised us with and you can get it today. But
well,
sadly,
I wish they would have surprised us with, this also includes pet battles if you want to, you know. But I mean, hey, look, if they have a mobile team now, they have a mobile team now. So that's a good sign, and that points towards this being a possibility.
I agree, and it was the number one bet. Most people thought pet battles. That's really what the consensus was, and I think that consensus got too big too quick, and Blizzard was probably internally going, oh, geez.
Now they're going to be mad because it's not that.
Yeah. But it's also funny because I'm watching the live Twitch stream of this announcement. And can I just say, are there bigger a-holes in the world than those commenting on Twitch channels? I don't think so. I think YouTube channel comments are close.
Really?
But,
YouTube's pretty bad, man. Pretty bad.
All right. Well, nonetheless, I'm listening to all these guys decrying what they thought was a stupid announcement. That's totally dumb. It wouldn't have mattered what they announced. That's what their reaction would have been. And all I can think in my head is, you're all going to play it. Every one of you is going to play this game.
True.
You liars. You bunch of sacks. Like, whatever. They're all 15. What am I doing? I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I shouldn't
what's funny? Go to the forums.
Fell off that track.
Go to just the actual forums and find the people who are just complaining and trolling the forums like crazy. And then look at how long they've been on the forums doing that.
Yeah.
And you're like, you've been playing this game for years and complaining about it for years. Like, that doesn't make sense.
And it's
but,
a
okay.
weird thing to complain about. It's free. You don't have to play anything, free or otherwise. What's the problem?
Yeah.
I don't understand what your problem is. The internet is a weird place right now for video games. I feel like this isn't just a Blizzard thing, but it's a weird... And I've had a conversation with somebody at Blizzard about this very thing, this idea that the internet is just out to hate everything, and video games get the buzz of it.
Like, I don't know if you guys like The Walking Dead.
I
love
do.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Go to the subreddit, and holy crap, there's people who just hate The Walking Dead, and yet
have you seen the new Walking Dead game, though?
Oh,
I heard it was poop.
Oh, it's interesting.
The adventure game's amazing, but the first person shooter you're talking about is garbage.
It looks awful. It sounds like the story is the only thing that maybe is interesting, but that it's not interesting enough to make it worth.
Right. And so something actually bad, I don't have a problem with that. But
sure,
when somebody comes out and goes, hey, we're making a TCG, Blizzard's finally gone off the edge of the worst freaking news, you know, okay, great. Yeah. But you haven't even seen the thing. And Blizzard.
And you don't have to ever play it. You don't have to play it.
I shouldn't worry about it, but.
Yeah.
Hodor got me worked up last week about how much you love your Blizzard games and how much big of fanboys we are. By the way, thanks again, Christian, for that interview. That was a lot of fun, if he's listening.
Look, we are kind of fanboys, but you know why we're fans of this stuff? Because this stuff is good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend like it's not good.
It's as simple as that.
This is good stuff.
It is as simple as that.
I'm afraid I cannot endorse this product because I've given out too many endorsements recently.
Have you? Okay.
So, by the way, I like this game, but I'm not a fanboy of it, so there you go.
Everyone who asked me to ask Hodor, I forgot to ask him if that was his actual wiener in season one.
It wasn't. It's a prosthetic.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I meant to ask, but I forgot. And I'm sure he gets it all the time. I did ask the dumb question about whether his lines are hard to remember, and that got some laughs. But yeah, I didn't ask about the wiener. Sorry, everyone. Hate to break it to you. All right,
Scott. That's just a good life rule.
Don't ask about the wiener.
Yeah.
All right.
No, you should ask everyone. Well, just everyone you meet. Just really,
hey. So
how is it hanging?
Oh, remember that.
How's it hanging?
Brilliant.
Just tell me a little something about your wiener.
Yeah. You? What's up with that? What's up with your wiener?
Stay a while and talk about your wiener.
Leah. You don't have a wiener.
Oh, man.
All right. So there's your big surprise. There's your big news. That'll be big news for a while. And I'm super stoked. We'll get closer and we'll talk about it more, I'm sure. Let's talk real quick about Sam Raimi revealing why he departed from the Warcraft film. A lot of people wondered. But before we do that, I would like to recommend you guys check out Audible.com. They're sponsoring this episode. The best source for hundreds of thousands of books, periodicals, and more. And get your hands on these things. Have them read right to your ears. You're jogging, you're driving, whatever it is. It's a great way to do it. I love Audible. Been using them for years and will continue to do so. We talk a little bit today in Town Crier. It's coming up soon about Christy Golden books. And there are lots of World of Warcraft books, Warcraft-related books that you can get right now on Audible, unabridged and ready to be played in your ears right now. If you'd like to get one of those books for free or any book on audible.com, here's what you got to do. Just go to audiblepodcast.com. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow, W-O-W. That simple. Get a free audiobook today. We thank Audible for their support of the show. All right, so let's talk about this movie again. What happened there when David Bowie's son took over the reins? I think my son should direct Warcraft, he said.
Zoe Bowie.
He said, Sam Raimi.
Book fixes humans. That's pretty freaky.
That's freaky. If I get to kill Garrosh Hellscream in the end, Sarah, there's a puppet. All right. You're no longer attached to the World of Warcraft movie, and now Duncan Jones is making it. And his reply to that was, I loved this movie, Moon. Oh, I loved his movie, Moon. And I think
this movie Moon.
It made it sound like some sort of Shakespearean dialogue. I love this movie Moon.
I did, didn't I? It's terrible. And I think he is strikingly talented director. I bet that if anyone can do a great job with it, it's him. And then he was asked, what was the biggest obstacle in that project? Robert Rodat was working on the script, and it was taking a long time. I think they were getting a little antsy at Legendary, the production company. Actually, what happened was even more complicated, so let me go back a little bit. First, they asked me if I wanted to make it, and I said, yes, I love World of Warcraft, and I think it would make a great picture. It'd make a great picture, see? It was the guy from the 20s. Jeez. Yeah. So I read a screenplay that was written by the guys at Warcraft, at Warcraft developer Blizzard, is what he said. And it didn't quite work for me. I told them I wanted to make my own original story with Robert, so we pitched it to Legendary, and they accepted it. But when we pitched it to Blizzard, they had reservations, but they also accepted it. Then Robert wrote
so
a screen.
Really, what are you imagining for a Sam Raimi original Blizzard story?
Right.
Like, it's either going to have, like, some weird, like, Spider-Man kind of bits to it,
yeah,
where all of a sudden, like, you're going to have some kind of emo dance scene, or it's going
to
have, like, a load of
gore. Hand off, and
yeah,
it's going to come to life.
Just gore everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's that I can understand that being a fracturous relationship.
Yeah, sure. But it's interesting because, so this guy wrote the screenplay. He says once he was done, we realized Blizzard had veto power, and we didn't know that, he says.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I love this.
I did not realize that Blizzard can do what they want with this movie about Blizzard's biggest IP.
Right.
So it's like we wrote the screenplay for Blizzard, and it was one that they didn't really like and one that we knew they didn't like. In fact, we hadn't even asked them if we could do it. And then they turn around and say, no.
And we were like, what? You can do that?
Yeah. He's like, wait a minute. So you don't want to make a movie that you don't like the script? That's
cool. I think that's pretty funny. Let's see. They didn't ever approve of the story. We want to go a different way. So he's a little bit bitter. He says, after we've spent 9 months working on this thing, we basically had to start over. And Robert and I did start over, but it was taking too long for the people at Blizzard and their patience ran out. Honestly, I think it was a mismanagement on their behalf not to explain to us that the first story was vetoed long ago. Why didn't they just keep us working on it? Or why did they just keep us working on it? Were they afraid to tell me, unquote?
Well, I agree with that. If they knew that they didn't like the actual story that was pitched before it was a screenplay,
they should have said so.
Said something there. But I don't know if that's really what happened. It sounds to me like they were maybe unsure about the story, and then when they saw the screenplay, went, well, no, this definitely doesn't work.
Plus, this is new territory for Blizzard. So they're not used to working with Hollywood. What do you reckon happened?
Do you reckon that someone got sucked into the video game?
Mm.
Through the Necromicon, I can't even say it, Necromicron, and then they had to fight their way back and save the people of Azeroth.
Whoa. Like a Tron for the Warcraft.
I want to know what the screenplay was that was.
It was about a young Fred Savage going to a World of Warcraft tournament,
right?
And he had to use a glove to play the game.
And his grandpa Columbo read to him
to him the whole story, and it turned out it was all just a story in a book, and at the end, it's kissed of all time.
Okay, well, that's fine then. That sounds good. Why the hell would Blizzard
that
be that?
Really good, yeah.
Robert Wright Penn as Jaina Proudmoore. There you go. That was the plan right there. I don't know. This is all connected to that
Bruce
stupid movie.
Bruce Campbell as Garrosh Hellscream.
Yeah. He would have been in it.
Andre the Giant as Thrall.
Isn't that that's in all Raimi's contracts that he does that. He's in that new Oz movie, so which he just finished, and which did all right. So way to go, Raimi. You're fine. You're good. You don't need Warcraft. You're good.
You did all right, but I heard bad things.
I've heard mixed things, but it made a bunch of money. So
bad things, yeah.
Really?
I've got good hubs for Duncan's film.
I feel good about it. I can't do that voice anymore when someone else British is in the room. I can't do
That's
it.
That's the problem, isn't it? Exactly.
Yeah. It's
really weird. Realistic.
Yeah.
All right. Some more stuff going on. You will never fly in Pandaria before hitting 90, says Zaram. I said this on Twitter. Somebody asked, whatever. It's not Zaram.
I'm not. Just saying it. It's just being a...
Zarhim.
Look. Skull. Skull Zoltan. Guy.
Zarhim. He says, someone asked, will sub-90 tunes ever be able to fly in Pandaria? He wrote back and said, maybe never. We have no current plans of adding flying to Pandaria for pre-90 characters. So it's a tidbit. It's a little thing, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of flying, I got to fly.
Oh, you got to. Yeah, you got work. Go work.
Right now.
Dill's
I'm a 90 character, so I'm allowed.
That's fine. No, that's perfect.
He's allowed.
Our next segment was all about bashing Dill, so this is perfect timing. Perfect.
All right. Good. This is a good time for me to go. So enjoy bashing Dills.
I will.
Which, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, just in life, people, don't bash your dills.
You're right, don't bash your dills.
I did that once on a table once.
Gross. Gross.
Yeah. It never turned out well for you.
I bashed
or
dills
anybody.
On the corner of a table. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you'll feel that.
It's not pleasant.
I'm going to feel that tomorrow, you said.
Yeah.
All right, so, dills, fair weather, dude.
Chat room, thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. I will see you next week. And, good times.
All right, we'll see you. All right. One last little bit here before we get to town crier there, Terpster. Can we have a bigger backpack? And the answer came back. This is a blue post. It says we'd love to be able to. Well, people are always begging. Give us a bigger backpack. It's been this long. How hard can it be to take a 16-slot bag and make it bigger? And they said we'd love to be able to upgrade it as well. But it's not as simple as upgrading it. It was coded into a system early in the development of World of Warcraft, and it isn't as easy as writing up a few new lines of code. In addition, we're not sure that simply adding a larger backpack is the solution people are actually looking for. You'll get a few more slots, but you'll most likely fill those relatively quickly. I don't understand why this is still a thing. I understand maybe asking early BC or something, but now why do we care? We have big giant bags otherwise. So there's because one tiny bag, big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like it. I don't like that. Can I hide my backpack? Can they give me another slot and I can just hide? Right. Trade, so that would be better. You turn off your backpack and it gives me a new slot and I can put in like a 40 slot bag or something magical, because ultimately for me it's literally the case of that I'm like, you know, massive bag, massive bag, massive bag, massive bag, Oh, backpack still.
Right.
And I don't, it's not even like, yeah, the backpack, you know, what was it 16 slots? 16 slots. It was big once upon a time, but it just doesn't feel that anymore. It's just a little bit.
I don't understand why it's still a point.
But it's just because it's the comparison, isn't it, between, you know, that and now and what else I have.
Well, and also everyone uses mods for their bags, or they should be, or probably are. So only people that really care are the ones that aren't using mods. And I'm not saying you shouldn't use mods. You should be, you know, allowed to not use them if you don't want to. But I use a bag mod and have used other bag mods, and I don't even notice it. It's just one big collective space. So I can't remember the last time I looked at the default UI bag. It's been years since I've seen it. So
yeah. Yeah, true, true. But
it's
then
just virtual space. In a way that knowing that I can take like a bag mod and all I get is a big giant space that I can categorize, you know, items in or something, makes me believe that it is actually simpler than they're leading on. Because a mod maker can make it look like all eight of your bags are one big bag.
Exactly. And maybe that's a better solution, is for them to not show bags by default separately. And maybe going for that as a default UI would be a better fix.
Yeah.
And then that way, because my inventory is my inventory. I consider it a thing, unless so like, you know, here's my soul shard bag. You know, we don't have separate bags or quivers and stuff anymore. We don't really need to have those dedicated slots. And, you know, when I'm playing, you know, any game, any RPG, you know, normally I just have an inventory space. And I think that that would probably be a better, quicker, easier fix that would make me feel better if I just basically it just had my inventory size and it starts out at 16. That's what you get at level one. And then you can upgrade that inventory by making bags like a consumable item, and it upgrades your inventory by X number of slots.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can reclaim all of that interface space. You just have one little box, you know, button down the bottom. And everyone's a winner.
As a long-time user of ARC inventory, the only request I would make to the folks who maintain that mod would be, can you put some frilly Warcrafty stuff, skin it a little bit? Because right now it looks like it came out of a Tron game or something.
Yeah, it looks a bit spacey, doesn't it?
Yeah. I've never liked how that clashes.
But if you imagine, like, you open up your character panel and then, you know, where you've got your inventory slots, you know, next to that or along the bottom was your bag bar. And so you drop in all the different bags onto that slot there. And so it moved the UI bit from there to there, and then you just have it displayed as one big window.
Yeah.
And equally, like my bank, I would love that by default to be displayed as one big window. I hate not having a bag add-on for my bank because there's just too many windows, too many bars.
That's ridiculous.
I can't open all of my bags and all my bank bags at the same time. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. It just needs to be done better.
Yeah, just do it. And I think all I'm saying is the blue post is just a little bit disingenuous. I think really what they meant to say or should say is most of you, we can see because we have your data, most of you are using bag mods, and that eliminates this problem. So go use a bag mod. That's what I would have said if it were me, because that's really all they're, because why are they not going to bother taking the time and cost and whatever to even overhaul it? Because it's already being done 15 other places for them. Like mods generally do this. Once in a while, they'll find something important and they'll integrate it. Like markers and, you know, quest. What was that one? Quest Helper, was it? That big, huge deal. And now Quest Helper is nothing anymore because they basically integrated Quest Helper. But at least to some degree, it's like that. So they're not going to, they're going to let you guys mod it until it makes so much sense to put it in the game proper that they do. Let's get to some Town Crier business here. We got a couple short ones today. Where is it? Here it is.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
It's the Town Crier. That's where we do your emails and your calls. Today is sponsored by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Always got a good deal going. I am rubbing my hands together, looking forward to possibly adding a second PC to my gaming mix for some capturing reasons.
Oh, nice.
And I'm eyeballing the best stuff, obviously, and it's making me my mouth water and my... You know, for everything I want, it's making my wallet tremble. But I don't know what we're going to do. But anyway, doghousesystems.com. Use Henry for your double the memory code. That'll get you double the memory on any Doghouse setup, notebook or PC stuff over there. They're the best. Doghousesystems.com. As always, you can call us here on the phone lines, 801-471-0462. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Or you can send us your attachments and or emails to theinstance@gmail.com. I got a call here that didn't make any sense to me, and I wanted to see if you could interpret it. So here it is.
Listen,
harder. Did you hear that?
What was that?
Let me try it again. Listen harder. That's all it was. It's cryptic.
I don't know. Were they? I don't know. Were they killed by like?
I think it's a.
Listen harder.
Listen harder. Listen harder.
Listen smarter, maybe.
Listen harder.
Okay. Well, it remains a mystery.
This is Carter.
Maybe.
Listen harder.
Maybe. Listen.
I don't know.
Something.
Listen harder.
Someone farted. I don't know.
Someone farted. Click.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's maybe it. Or maybe it was that bad. It killed all communication.
Could have been. All right. Well, here's an email. I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones as well as WoW, says Talking Aloud. So it was a real treat to read the latest episodes, of the instance featuring Hodor. I listened and I realized, oh, he's from Belfast. Then things started to click. I did a Google search and saw a younger pic of him and boom, it hit me. He was the DJ for a local club I went to most nights when I was at university in Belfast. He changed a bit since then, but I chatted to him a lot back then, whatever that means. Feck, I'm so mad. That's Irish for the F word, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a WoW nut like me. I only knew a couple when I was at university and always felt isolated in that respect. And to think I spoke to a WoW fan every night that I went out is just crazy. Talking Aloud says this, and that is kind of awesome. And he probably was playing then because he, like you said in the interview, he picked it up like 2 weeks after launch. So chances are you guys were playing at the same time and didn't even know it. Yeah, he's a freak about. Oh man, I am not a WoW fan compared to what I heard last week from him.
Roll Christian now.
That's right. Season 3 starts what in a few. Well, it's about a week, yeah.
Not long now.
Pretty excited. All right, Dills isn't here to hear this, but Raven Knight wrote in. He's a retired Frost Death Knight who says, Dills is right, my wife hates Rush. I don't remember
Sucks
the context.
To be her.
What was the context? Something BlizzCon?
BlizzCon, I said Rush should play, and Dills is like, ladies hate Rush. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And, you know.
I never had a girlfriend that liked Rush growing up.
But then think about it, you know, Heart the Swarm, Zerg Rush, Rush. Just Rush. Let's have Rush.
Hold
Let's
on
do it.
Now. That's a great idea. Okay.
Exactly. You know, that, I think that's why Zerg Rush is called that. Yeah. Honestly do.
All right, Rush.
They
you
shred
heard
it. They shred it. That's what happens.
BlizzCon 2013, November, Anaheim. Be there. You heard it here on the show.
You're just saying things now, Scott.
I am. Brian Arnold wrote
it. BlizzCon. Today, tomorrow.
Now. Things. Be there. Stuff. Dills. No, not Dills. Brian Arnold wrote in and says, hello, this is Tide, I guess you'd say, Gnome Lock on Dresden, U.S. And I wanted to start reading the World of Warcraft book starting with the beginning of Vanilla WoW moving through the current WoW. Can you give me a breakdown of the books in order? I love listening to the show. You do a great job. Now, Brian, instead of putting them in an order, which you can do just by going to Wikipedia, we're not going to save you time in that regard. But I will say, don't you think generally, and this is no knock against Knack, but isn't
Christy Golding? Yes,
Christy Golden are those are the gold standards. No pun intended. Yeah. I'm not saying that you should start and end there. Maybe these other ones add something to the mix. But I've found that her books are the ones that really get me hooked.
It depends what you want. Like I said, the original ones, like you could look at, you know, Knack's original Well of Eternity, Demon Soul, The Sundering, the War of the Ancients series were really good, and that's Warcraft 3 stuff.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff like Day of the Dragon and Lord of the Clans. That was Knack and Golden. Metzen did of Blood and Honor, which is actually really cool. And that was a story between Tyrion Fordring and what's the orc's name?
Thrall.
Etrig.
Etrig. Oh, right.
Yeah, who you see kind of floating around in Orgrimmar and places like that.
Right.
But that's a really cool story, and it's kind of, you know, fun how that sits in. Past that, I mean, I think the first one chronologically is something like Rise of the Horde, I think.
Yeah.
Which is really good because that one is, I think that's
still Warcraft 3 era stuff, but it's still golden, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is actually kind of Burning Crusade sort of story.
Right.
In terms of like when it kind of takes place. And it kind of talks about the kind of the original corruption of the orcs and on Draenor and how that all kind of works. So I would say that Rise of the Horde would be good if you wanted to start at the beginning, but equally in a WoW place you understand. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, War of the Ancients was kind of where I started, I think.
Yeah.
And then the Day of the Dragon series and all of that. Lord of the Clans is good. Storm Rage isn't bad. That's a knack book, but it's quite fun. That tells about Mafurion's return, which is something that happened before the Cataclysm. And equally, the Shattering as well is golden, but before
the Shattering.
And the Shattering is, I think, a really good book.
Yeah.
And it talks about Garrosh and who he is and why he is a little bit, which should hopefully make more sense come the end of this expansion.
It makes him a much more, not sympathetic character, but you just get, there's a lot more meat there about his motivations and why he is the way he is. In the game, he's a little bit one note in the game. The book really sheds light on that.
But past that, I think if it's something you're a little bit scared about, maybe reading a big book, maybe that's something you're not into, then one thing I'd really recommend is Warcraft Legends. Yeah. So they did a series of like 5 or 6 books, I forget how long, but just short little mangas. And they're all, you know, graphic
novels over here.
Tokyo Pop. They're brilliant. They're really good fun. They're really accessible because they're mangas, they're comics. It's written by Knack, Golden, the normal crew. Yeah. I think Mickey Nielsen did some as well, and obviously he's involved in a lot of stuff all around Blizzard.
Mickey's big time on all the lore business these days.
So all of that's really good. So I would say across the board, there's so much to read that really, you know, pick a bit and jump in. But I would say probably for me, I think The Shattering, Arthas, we always say, is like the best book.
I really did love Arthas. I thought Arthas was great.
And I think Arthas is great, and it's familiar, it's fun, and it kind of tells the story of Warcraft 3 and Lich King a little bit. Well, on the lead up to Lich King.
It's literally the rise of the Lich King.
Yeah, exactly. The Shattering, though, Prelude to Cataclysm, is great as well. So I don't think you can go far wrong with all
Shattering
of that.
Shattering feels like a bigger war book, like more of a...
Yeah, the Shattering kind of
conflict.
Exactly. You know? There's some stuff with all of the faction leaders in there, really, which is good. And then obviously the latest one, Tides of War, Jaina of Proudmoore. That's Christine Golden as well.
I still haven't read it. I have it upstairs and I haven't read it.
It's good, again, feeds into Mists.
Yeah,
so
all ahead of Mists, right?
You want to start. Yeah, exactly. Where you want to start, there's you can go anywhere and everywhere.
And I do feel like you could kind of pick up, like I read Shattering before I read Arthas. And they're chronologically out of order, but it didn't seem to matter. It felt fine either way.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, if you play WoW, you know enough that you could read any of them because the locations aren't too crazy. You'd be fine. So I'd say just go with it.
Yeah, go with it. If you want a real personal story, I still think Arthas is the one. The one that really gets into like the people, the characters real deep. Shattering's more like, hey, big stuff's going on and everyone's pissed. All right. let's see, one more email. Hello from Brian Arnold. Oh, that's the same guy. No, it's not the same guy. That's the same guy. Never mind. We just read it. We're not reading him again. That's it.
That's cool. Wait, good.
Drop of the week.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week. Trivial Pursuit World of Warcraft Edition pre-orders are now available. For the very first time, America's favorite trivia game teams up with the world's most popular online multiplayer game, World of Warcraft, with World of Warcraft Edition Quick Play Trivial Pursuit. Fans of the WoW game series can show off their knowledge by acing 600 questions across 6 categories, including geography, player characters, lore, loot, villains, and encounters. World of Warcraft Quick Edition Trivial Pursuit features dice inspired by...
Do you think you're good? Do you think you're good at...
I think I do okay. I think I do all right.
Okay.
I think you'd whoop me. You'd beat me.
Where in Theramore would you find the Twin Peaks of Theramore?
You'd find them... if Jaina of Paramore is there, because she's visiting, she has the Twin Peaks right
there. There you go. Well, again, you got yourself a little segment of pie.
No, there are people that would murder me.
Can you find Malfurion's horn?
Which zone can you find his horn? I'm gonna say. Hold on, I know this. Ashen Vale.
No, I'm afraid not. It's the Erogenous Zone. The Erogenous Zone is where you'll find Malfurion's horn. So I want to play that game. I want to play the World of Warcraft Troll Trivia Pursuit.
I'm sorry, that's his crotch. That was incorrect.
You will find
his erogenous zone. I love the way you answered that. All right. Well, anyway, it's up there now. It's up for. It's available for 2 to 36 players. Recommended ages 12 and up. You can pre-order it now.
36 players.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
These Trivial Pursuit with 36 players.
Can you imagine?
It's like teams of 18.
I kind of want to get one for Nerdtacular for the game, the tabletop time we're going to have, and just see what that is. You know.
Okay. That's good.
I'm going to try. I'm trying to get that. We'll let you guys know how that
would
goes.
Would insist that everyone has to role play, as like they have to pick a race, a class, a faction, and all that to begin with, and then they have to stay in character for the whole game.
Absolutely, they do. All right, we got a contest. We're going to give away some free stuff right here now in the chat room. Some of you guys have Xbox 360s. Good, because you've got those stupid little avatar guys. Good.
Yep.
Well, I got stuff for them to wear: male Alliance shirt, female Alliance shirt, male Alliance, or sorry, male Horde shirt, male female. Female Horde shirts. These codes all come from Tyler Wolfenberg, who gave this these to us today to give away.
I didn't know these existed. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Why are these there? Why is Blizzard on a console?
Did you not know this? This has been a thing for a little while. This has been a thing. It's a thing. So I'm going to give them randomly to first guy. You will never know. Got one. I'm saying that's his name. You will never know. Not I will never know who it is. That's actually his name. I'm going to also give one to Strago. There you go. Something like that. Strago. Next one. I'm just giving you these randomly. Here's the male Horde shirt. This one's going to go to Zaggy. Zaggy, congratulations. And we got one more here. We'll give that to Waller, who I just picked at random. I don't know who these people are. There you go.
Well done.
No tech support. Go figure it out on your own.
And or female avatar.
Right. Abso-snively. Okay. Very nice. Ted Semi, our tank and our raid group, just sent a cool link for those looking for a chronological guide to Warcraft novels and manga. There's a WoW Insider article. I'll post this in the chat here.
In the old show notes.
I'm sure he did, and we'll put it. Yeah,
you can find those at theinstance.net.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
That's where it's at.
Did you know you can follow people on Twitter? Are you aware of that?
No. Can you?
Yeah, you can. Why don't you tell me where, though? Because I don't remember where.
Well, I guess it'd be twitter.com/the_T for me. Uh-huh. The one with the most followers.
Shut up.
I'll do it in order of followers.
This is such bull crap.
twitter.com/ScottJohnson for the second most Twitter followers. And then Willie Deals for Deals.
Yeah. And the show for instant shows, or you want to go and get the show?
Is instant show? We're both beating instant shows.
So correct. I want to thank these folks this week. Brian Tektrick, who gave just an awesome donation to the show, really helps out with costs and things. I really appreciate it, Brian. Also, Ken and Lynn of awkwardgeeks.com. They both love the show and love AIE as well. Thanks for the awesomeness, they say. And then finally, as always, GameTimeZone.com, who gave us the discount code instance. You get 5% off if you buy your game time there. At GameTimeZone.com. UK, should we do iTunes?
I haven't got any iTunes.
I don't know if Fine's even working. Hold on here. Yeah, it's not working. It's saying try later. All right, well, we'll do that later then. How about that, everyone? Later. Next week is later. Then let's get out of here. Let's be done. You got anything cool going on, Terpster, people should know about? Or are you still so busy you can't do anything but... Nothing much, really.
I'm going to play some StarCraft, which would be good.
Yeah.
Then just be busy.
You up for a little 1v1 in StarCraft sometime?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do that after the show? Should we do that?
I wouldn't mind that. Oh, let's see that. After the show, dang it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I could.
Well, maybe another time, though.
We'll talk about it offline. But, yeah, I want to record that, and I want to...
In fact, actually, I want to practice a lot more before I play you.
Yeah.
So I can ensure my victory.
You're going to kill me. I suck.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, I suck, dude.
I have to make sure that I suck less.
I'm not that great. $20 on Scott says Nightfire 5513. I'll try to live up to your good thing.
That's a bold bet.
Dude, I play a mean Protoss. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah? What's his name?
His name is Zeratul, and I will grab you by the face and tell you to believe. That is my favorite moment of that game, by the way. I just love that.
I'm trying to think what my favorite moment was.
Did you have one?
I don't know. I really like Prince Valerian.
Yeah, he's great.
He seems like a much more of a dude this time around. He's less of a, he's a bro.
Yeah, he's a little more of a bro. He's on.
Matt's got a cool bit with Mira again. Yeah. When you, like I said, there's a really cool mission when you go to do something with no spoilers in it.
Yeah.
And like Matt's there, Mira's there.
Prince Valerian's there, and that whole mission is just awesome. So I love it.
I've really enjoyed the missions so far.
And Swan was back as well. I missed Swan. I didn't realize I missed Swan until I until he came up and was all like, I've upgraded the engines. I'm like, ah, Swan. I remember chatting to you about upgrading units and stuff.
Oh, buddy.
Exactly. I felt like running my hand gently down his cheek and just being, sweet Swan. Sweet Swan, you don't know how much I miss you.
I miss when I'm not in the evolution chamber talking to that. Well, I forget his name all the time.
What's it? I don't know. I've heard it a billion times.
He's basically Morden.
He's just all crackly voice, isn't he?
No, he's the deep voice guy that goes, evolution not complete. Something of the thing.
More efficient.
Yes, that guy. He's got the voice of Grunt from Mass Effect. He's freaking
very
awesome.
Very Mass Effect, actually.
Character of the year for me. I love that guy. So that's who my vote is.
Shady. Really shady.
Also,
a bit worried about him.
Really liking the Lara Croft game, by the way. The game's really good. Yeah.
The old Tomb Raider.
Real good.
I'm downloading it right at the moment, actually.
Better than people think or would think. I think it's a great reboot.
8 gigabytes. It's huge.
It's big. But the reviews are good, and the PC version looks gorgeous. Butt technology. Speaking of Kerrigan, they've got pretty good butt technology in this new Tomb Raider.
Well, they made a big deal about the hair, didn't they?
Yeah, the hair's good. Hair's good. She's more of a girl you'd want to date. This is not some supermodel skinny chick. She is normal.
The thing is that she's normal, but at the same time, she's freezing on a deserted jungle island.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all these people with clothes and jumpers and stuff, and she never thinks she'll think, I'll pick up your gun. I ain't going to pick up your jacket, though. That'd be weird.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing someone else's clothes.
Can't do that.
Exactly. I'm catching hypothermia over here, but I got to look good.
Yeah. I got 4 guns hidden somewhere on me, but I don't have time to pick up your coat.
She's thinking, no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. That's it. Enjoy the embrace of the beautiful boots.
Lara or Laura or Lara? Where is it? It's British. So what are we doing wrong over here? There's a big argument whether it's Lara or Laura.
Lara Croft. Lara Croft.
Not Lara Croft.
No. Never Lara.
Okay.
Always Lara.
All right. Take that, everybody. Check us out on the web. It's theinstance.net. Also, was there something I was going to mention? Crap, what was it? I was supposed to say. Oh, I'm supposed to people who do end of show segments. I know you're listening. Just a reminder I have to put out once in a while because people forget. Minute and a half max on your stuff. Once in a while, they'll creep up to minute 45 seconds and I'll let them through. And there's a few like that today. But anything over that, I've been chucking. So if you're not hearing your segment, it's not because I didn't like it or something. It's because it went too long.
I might not have liked it though as well.
Maybe.
Because it went too long.
Yeah.
You know, be concise. Edit yourself. Be good.
This is Bill and this is your week in Warcraft. This week, it's just the point is if it goes up to 2 minutes, all that kind of stuff. No, it's just not. I'm not going to play it, and I don't have time to have a conversation with you about it. So if you don't hear it, that's why.
We should do our own after show segments.
Should we?
Yeah.
This is Terpster's Corner, and in today's
Terpster's Gem Corner, I'm going to talk to my new microphone. Gems, otherwise you won't be efficient.
That's it.
Could you make sure and send that to me as low volume as possible so I have to jack it up artificially?
That would be good,
okay.
Actually.
No offense to anyone, because you're all doing good work. Keep it coming.
Well, if you hear them on the show, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, if you hear them, they're good. There's a couple that could be tweaked, but yeah, for the most part.
I still like it's a Gem Show.
I do too as well. Let's get that going.
Hey, looks like you just got 2 tickets to the Gem Show.
Bonk. Matthew Oxley does our music at MatthewOxley.com. I want to thank Paul Swickard, our intern, for putting up show notes and all kinds of stuff during the week. If there's anything going on with Blizzard, it shows up on theinstance.net and you can go read about it. He is currently on his way to the hospital with his wife, who is about to give birth to something. So,
amazing.
Yeah,
cool.
Very happy for him. And
named Terpster.
Of course it will. Duh.
Just put it out there. And actually, it'd be weird. Because then it'd be like...
Well, you got so many Twitter followers now. Who knows?
Exactly, yeah. I'm the only
Terpster. Twitter bull crap. Forum show notes, archives, and all that at instance.net. Find us on Twitter. We already told you how to do that, so do that. We're also on Facebook /TheInstance. You can find more great shows just like this one at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
April on, sanctuary laid. Don't let the mending fade. Another one tank top fool. Oh, feels so fine, won't be a loss. Your name's a priest, well you hear so good you're on top of this. And he rain, he'll wear you all night. Sucks from eight down the back, keep the fight on, hey. Your name's a priest, well you hear so good you're on top of this. And he rain, he'll wear you all night. Sucks from eight down the back, keep the fight on. Amazing priest, amazing priest. Hey, you're amazing priest. Well, you heal so good, you're on top of it. When we rain, he'll be you all night. Simply lay down on back to keep the fight on. Hey, you're amazing priest. Well, you heal so good, you're on top of it. When we rain, he'll be you all night. Simply lay down on back, fight on. Here we go. Rage is on. A superstar, it has to go down. Lay it on. Bring it home. You're amazing and I like the way you heal me. Hey, you're amazing priest. Well, you heal so good, you're on top of it. When we rain, he'll make you all night. Circle, lay down and back, keep the fight on. Hey, you're amazing priest. Well, you feel so good, you're on top of it. When we rain, he'll bet you all night. So go lay down the back, keep the fight on. Keep the fight on. You're amazing and I like the way you heal me.
Revan Geek and Jade Serpent Stout present Real Pandarian Heroes.
Real Pandarian Heroes!
Today we salute you. Look, I'm no corporate sellout!
Mr. Look, I'm no corporate sellout. Oh, what?
Sure, you Storm Stouters may have bought out the company, but you did buy me. You hear me? You don't own me.
I just sing tags.
Don't get me wrong. I guess you've got an okay product, but it's kind of like the bottom of an Alliance warship, you know? It's pretty much always close to water.
I'm off the chain.
Grow a backbone. Look, I'm going to keep doing this, but I'm doing it my way and with my product, the way that I always have.
I'll do whatever you tell me.
So keep your Mogu malt liquor, and I'll crack open a nice cold Nuggin Fugger Elixir. You too cute for corporate suits. I don't give a toot corporate tools. This ain't the first time I've been bought out.
Ooh, I ain't no corporate sellout. Look, could you call my agent separate? Will that be okay?
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek. Hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com. Subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes. Check out my new podcast at IRIBetter.com. And special thanks to Hunts the Wind and the Overly Dramatic News for this week's handoff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the world of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohumulon. In this segment, I will begin a short series on the Storm Staff Brewery. First up, the Wart Stirring Rod. The Wart Stirring Rod is a caster staff that drops from the Yanzhu the Uncast encounter. But what is wart, and why does it need stirring? Wort, also pronounced wort by some, is a very sweet extraction of sugars, both monosaccharides and polysaccharides, that is drawn from the malt during what is known as the mashing process. During this process, starches are converted into sugar using specific volumes and temperatures of water, bringing the pH within a range appropriate for the type of beer that is being brewed. Once all of this enzymatic activity has completed, sparging, or rinsing, pulls the sweet wort out and you're ready to boil. So when does it need to be stirred? I like to stir my wort prior to boiling, so the direct fire on the kettle doesn't burn the wort at the bottom. Afterward, when the wort has cooled down to fermentation temperatures, is a good time to stir again, creating a whirlpool effect, which can bring a lot of the sediments, also known as cold break, together in the middle to keep much of it out of the fermentation vessel. So this is where the Pandaren brewers are innovative. They put an eyeball on the end of the stirring rod. This way, there's no guesswork involved. They can see when their wort stirring work is done. Brilliant! This concludes episode 2 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. Follow me on Twitter at FermentAzeroth or visit the site at fermentingazeroth.com.
Half Hill Farmer sows seeds of corruption. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Since arriving in Half Hill not long ago, Farmer Yoon has come a long way, rising from clueless city slicker to head of the Tillers Union. But in a shocking development, the Pandaren Justice Department has filed a 10 million gold piece lawsuit against Yoon. The charge? Exploiting illegal immigrant labor to work his farm and paying off Tillers Union officials to look the other way. The details of the suit are startling. From the time Yoon took over his grandfather's farm, he refused to hire unemployed Valley of the Four Winds residents to work his fields. Instead, he lured in Horde and Alliance adventurers with promises of exotic food and crafting materials and kept almost all of the profits for himself. But none of these adventurers have proper immigration documentation, and many of them have proven as destructive and annoying as the local Hosen and Vermin. The suit also alleges that to keep his cheap labor scheme secret, Yoon bribed Tillers Union officials with gifts. One of these gifts, a pearl from the local oyster, has been collected in such numbers that the oyster is now virtually extinct. Yoon has, of course, denied the allegations and says he will fight the suit vigorously in court. But if the charges stick, his fortune and reputation will be ruined, and he will likely forever be known as one seedy character.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade. And this week, I want to talk directly to my warlock brethren who are hard at work at trying to get their hands on an RNG drop of the Tome of the Lost Legion. Now, this particular item is what will begin you on your journey in your quest for Seeking Green Fire. And it's been rumored to drop off the Isle of Thunder from any mob, but in particular, it's been rumored that it drops at a higher percentage rate on the rare elites that are found throughout the island. Since the launch of the patch last week, there has been reports of issues in regards to looting. And the issue has been this. After you take down one of these mobs, no loot window appears for you. If this happens to you, first, don't panic. There's a couple of things that you can try that might help correct the situation. First, run away from the mob. Run far enough away till you can no longer see its body. Then return back. Hopefully, you'll be able to loot the corpse. If running away and returning back fails you, well, you can always kill a nearby mob and open an AoE loot window. And finally, and I hope you don't have to use it, but you may have to log off the game and then log back in. Sometimes this appears to fix the issue as well. Now I hope these tips helped. And remember, please, be patient, because I'm sure we're all going to hear from Blizzard about this matter very soon. But until next time, if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to find me at warlockery.com.
Welcome to Azeroth's Fantastic Race, and I'm your host, Vro Baby. Our eight teams began their race in Orgrimmar. The first directive was to make their way from Orgrimmar to Ratchet. There they would book passage on a ship bound for Booty Bay. Gurp and Morgaram got a fast jump out of the gates and arrived at Ratchet first. Morgaram was able to sneak into the travel agency and adjust the records to show only enough room for he and Gurp. Although, as we saw, Morgaram is not the only sneaky one, as Stumpenstein and Tanadalen were able to conceal themselves and steal aboard the ship as well. Aludra and Miss Mulgra charmed their way onto the second ship, with four of the remaining five teams getting the third. Revengeek and Pephis ultimately ended up on the very last ship, as Revengeek detoured to help out the taproom with some overstocking issues. Upon arriving in Booty Bay, the teams tracked down Landro Longshot to get their next clue. Team Stream of Gurp and Morgaram and Team Big Brother of Stumpenstein and Tanadalen lead. Those ladies of AIE, Aludra and Miss Mulgra, are third. Damus and Maya are fourth, with the pack of Johnny Feisty, Buxley, Hunts the Wind, Aguizod, Terpster, and Dills following. Arriving last was Revengeek and Kephas. Now you can find out more at fantasticrace.blogspot.com, and you can follow me at VroBaby. Remember, vote for the teams each week. Your votes increases their chances of winning each weekly challenge. You can vote at fantasticrace.blogspot.com.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation, a time to learn and reflect on aspects of the monk class. This week's lesson, Windwalker Mastery. Prior to 5.2, mastery was a chance to proc a free blackout kick or tiger palm. While this helped us conserve energy, it did not help increase our DPS very much. This feature has now been granted at a standard 12%. But now, instead, we get Bottled Fury. This will increase the damage bonus to Tiger Eye Brew by a percentage per stack, increased by our mastery amount. Tiger Eye Brew also now stacks to 20 stacks rather than 10, but still only 10 stacks are consumed when used. This difference to mastery has changed how we prioritize our stats. Mastery is now more important than Critical Strike. Thank you for listening to Monk Meditation. Catch me in-game as Chai T, C-H-A-I-T-H-I, on Aerial Peak or Argent Dawn, or on Twitter at WowMonk.
Looter the Mage here, helping you get the pets to make your collection unbeatable. 5.2 is here! Huzzah! And to celebrate, we are off to the Isle of... Wait, where's the music?
What do you mean he wanted too much?
What a ripoff. Anyway, we are off to the Isle of Giants, which is actually really to scale and totally isn't some sort of Jurassic-era preserve full of beasts of the era. While we're there, we are looking for the Zandalari Dinomancers. These sparse mobs are doing more than mancing the dinos. They're actually taming them. Yeah, and hunters need tomes. Don't worry, though. Unlike everything else on the island, these guys are totally soloable. Their voodoo is super effective. They have the chance to drop not one, not two, but four dino pets. The Zandalari Ankle Render, the Zandalari Foot Slasher, the Zandalari Knee Biter, and the Zandalari Toe Nibbler. Now, you may have heard that these guys have a phenomenal drop rate. Well, that's not true. At least, not anymore. A recent patch has set the drop rate back to 5%. Man, they caught us quickly. But all these little guys are also tradable, so if you can't find that last one, or you have too many dinos to keep, you can AH these little beasts for a nice profit. If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrants. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is Boop, and it takes place in the Isle of Thunder. We're going to knock a Zandarali Beast Collar off his flying mount. The trick behind this achievement is all about selecting the beast collar correctly. If you select his mount and then cast your spell and they come down, it doesn't count. You need to solely select the beast collar and knock them off the mount. I used a macro that said slash target Zandarali beast collar with the appropriate spaces. You want to make sure you put in that macro correctly because you don't want to be that guy in guild chat. You know what I'm saying? You could also use NPC scan and type in 7509. That will target that beast collar for you when it's nearby. Be sure to look at your map and make sure that beast collar is moving around a lot. That way you'll know you got one that's up in the air. Some of them are on the ground. Once you get it in range, throw your spell, throw your knives, your shadow bolts. They still have those. Knock them off the mount and get your 10 points.
You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. You could catch up on these segments at slashgrats.com. Any feedback or screenshots you'd like to share, send them to feedback@slashgrats.com. If you want to get some achievements done with me, I'm Thunderhorns on Earthen Ring US. See you next week.
What's up, guys? This is Kephas, your friendly neighborhood monk, and on today's Mod Minute, we're talking about Macro Toolkit. I have no idea how I missed this one, because Macro Toolkit tremendously improves the macro system in WoW. First, it improves on simple things like allowing you to move and adjust the scale of your macro frame, It also adds a searchable icon frame, and it allows you to better organize your macros. But those are just little things, only touching the tip of the iceberg. This mod goes way more advanced than all of that. For example, it'll allow you to add keybinds directly to macros, and it has a feature that will shorten your macros without losing functionality, removing any unnecessary spaces or adding abbreviations to certain words. But if that's not enough, it will extend the limit on how many characters you can have in a macro. Normally, you can have only about 255 characters per macro, but Macro Toolkit will multiply that number by 4. Allowing you to have extremely long macros. This is a major improvement on the macro system. And if you've made a good macro and want to share it with somebody, you can share it with any of your friends that have Macro Toolkit. So if you're a major macro user, you definitely want to check out Macro Toolkit. You can find Macro Toolkit on Curse. You can follow me on Twitter at TheKephis, and you can learn more about Mod Minute by heading over to modminute.blogspot.com. This is Kephis. Until next time.
Hey, Jules.
Hey, Rem.
We're the WoW Podcast, all about the WoW player. And we're here to help you with your problems, too. This week on Torn Think Tank.
An interview with Ubisoft gamer researcher Nick Yee about the science of MMORPGs. Nick's research background is in online games and immersive virtual reality. Here is a portion of one of our many discussion topics on the show, where we talk about Nick's research on the unique nature of relationships that begin online.
So in one of the studies that I did, I started with a completely open-ended survey, and I asked, you know, who had been in those relationships or are still in those relationships, you know, tell me how it started and what the process was like and how things are now. And I asked one interesting question that I'm really glad I asked was, if the two of you had first met face-to-face, do you think the relationship still would have happened? What was interesting was, of the people still in those relationships, 60% of them said that had they met the other person face-to-face first, the relationship would not have happened.
Want to know more about why that is? Come be a part of the Moo Crew and download Torn Think Tank on iTunes or Stitcher. You can also visit our website at torrentthinktank.com.
Thanks for listening, and until next time, slash moo, everybody.
Slash moo.
Hello, my name is Tannen from Earthen Ring US. Join me in this little segment I like to call Soloing Azeroth.
None shall pass.
Next up on our Ulduar soloing adventure is Kologarn in 10-man normal.
Only a flesh moon.
Equal parts Gandalf and Black Knight, this raid boss guards central Ulduar, and his death is needed to progress within the raid instance. Lucky for us, he's a giant pushover and we can walk all over him. Since we are going in solo, we can avoid many of the mechanics for this fight, except for one, Kologarn's Petrifying Breath. This channeled ability will kill you very quickly unless you move into melee range of the boss. For this encounter, we can forget about Kologarn's arms and focus solely on his body. The only ability that can cause us some grief is his focused eye beam ability. This is where Kologarn will shoot 2 energy beams from his eyes. If you so desire, you can ignore this ability altogether and pop a few defensive cooldowns, or you can run in a small circle to avoid most of the damage. Then just keep DPSing his body until he's down for the count.
Master, they come!
If you have any questions or requests, you can find me at awkwarddragongames.com. or on Twitter at ShimmerADG, that's Shimmer with a 3, not an E.
Howdy folks, Medicakes of Lignar here from Epic Podcast, and we wanted to take a moment to tell you about an event that's coming up.
On April 6th, we're going to hold a 24-hour live stream to raise money for Child's Play Charity.
Child's Play is a charity that works with the staff of over 70 hospitals worldwide to give games, toys, books, and other fun stuff to kids they're caring for.
We want to game with you as much as possible during the marathon, but we're also holding a pet battle tournament and a StarCraft Heart of the Swarm tournament. The prizes include a Mesa Pandaria Collector's Edition, in-game pets, mounts, donations on your behalf, Jinx.com gift cards, as well as a lot of other prizes.
Registration is now open for tournaments. You can send an email to epicpodcastpluspets@gmail.com for rules and instructions on how to enter the pet battles tournament, and epicpodcastplushots@gmail.com for the Heart of the Swarm tournament.
It all starts at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Savings Time on Saturday, April 6th. We're really looking forward to helping raise awareness and money for this very worthwhile charity, as well as seeing you during the marathon. Till next time, have fun and wow, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 3 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the world of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohumulon. In this cast, I'll continue my tour of Stormstout Brewery. One of my favorite NPCs this expansion is Uncle Gal Stormstout. He has great intentions and is determined to bring the Stormstout Brewery back into popularity, but is always seeming to come just shy of success. I want to look at his monologue in the Yanju the Uncast encounter and explain why he fails yet again. We learn from the Dungeon Journal that Uncle Gal is looking to produce a perfect full-bodied ale. At one point during this encounter, Gal is focused. He notices that the beer is too bitter and immediately calls for honey and cane sugar. This is where he went wrong. Because these both are simple sugars, they're 100% fermentable, which leaves no sweetness, thereby thinning out the body by default, or in other words, causing it to be more dry. In addition, a thin-bodied beer has a tendency to actually accentuate the bitterness from the hops. If he really wanted to make this beer full-bodied, he can control this primarily in the mash, and here's how. Certain solids, gypsum, calcium chloride, etc., in the water can be adjusted to bring out a more malty character, which doesn't translate to body directly, but it can be perceived as such. Additionally, Uncle Gal can adjust his mash temperature to activate different enzymes, which will in turn bring out more unfermentable sugars, directly causing a fuller-bodied beer. This concludes this episode of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the world of Warcraft. Follow me on Twitter at FermentAzeroth or visit the site at FermentingAzeroth.com.
Epic Diapers.
It's a question that I rarely hear fully answered. How much World of Warcraft have you played? Some may glance at their slash played, but that doesn't tell the whole picture. Many of us have been playing since vanilla, and it's understandable to fear the summation of real-life hours that you've spent logged into Azeroth. Well, I decided to see how much WoW I've played over the years and how much it costs me per hour. As I logged into Battle.net, I see that I started playing WoW on October 25th, 2006. Through today, that's a span of 2,336 days. With those numbers, my playtime since I started can be broken down as follows. My total slash playtime is 154 days, 20 hours, and 28 minutes. That equates to almost 93 weeks, almost 2 full years of full-time work at 40 hours per week. That means 6.63% of my life has been spent playing WoW since then. I've averaged 11.14 hours per week, and if WoW were a job, I would have grossed over $25,000, all on 2006 California state minimum wage at $6.75 per hour. The other common statement that I've heard is that WoW is a cheap form of entertainment. Yeah, $15 a month is quite inexpensive for the enjoyment most of us get out of this game, but I wanted to see exactly how much it was costing me. The grand total? $1,647.97. All right, well, that's not a drop in the bucket, but considering that it's over 6.5 years, it's really not that bad. Now, the math was simple. How much does World of Warcraft cost me per hour? For me, 44 cents. I'd say that's a cheap form of entertainment. You can follow me at Epic Diapers or check out my blog at epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome to another edition of Science of Warcraft. This week, an update on gravity. In previous segments, we explored how gravity works and how to counteract its effects. Recently, a real-world phenomenon was solved. In the area around Hudson Bay in Quebec, Canada, it was reported that gravity was noticeably lower than everywhere else on Earth. The reason behind this is something that could easily apply to Azeroth. Remember that gravity is directly related to the mass of an object. The greater the mass, the more intense the gravity. However, the Earth is not perfectly round. Some locations have more mass than others. However, that isn't the complete story. If you take a soft but still solid object, like a pillow, and compress it, it will decompress and return to its natural shape. The same thing is happening in Hudson Bay. The Ice Age had a huge glacier crush that area, which is now slowly rebounding back to its former shape. Although that movement is very slow, it still contributes to the effect on gravity that people feel in Hudson Bay. Thanks for listening. Always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize. Please send any comments or suggestions to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, how should I prepare for daylight saving time? The temporal disturbance known as daylight saving time is really an invention of Nozdormu, the great dragon and guardian of time. When gnomish engineer Gigaflux Mainspring combined his love of clocks with his passion for mechanohogs, the bronze dragonflight realized that his tinkering genius could easily be misused by any meddlesome mage casting time warp. Nozdormu craftily distracted the mages by setting all clocks in Azeroth forward by an hour, making everyone think they were late for something. Since Nozdormu has already made you late for daylight saving time, you cannot prepare. Or you could just dig up a clockwork gnome and have him reset all your timepieces. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there! We'll be right back.